Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Beautiful once we got here. On the way, it was a little bit dicey with the rain. I'm assuming you guys got all of that earlier today. I can recall many times in my life sermons over the years that described ancient Israel. Ancient Israel was given precious truth from God, and they agreed to obey him. By reading their examples from the Bible, we know they rejected God's way of life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to start there in this sermon. And here the Apostle Paul was striving to help the people at Corinth by using the example of the ancient Israelites. I want you to take note how he described the Israelites. But more importantly, what do you think Paul was addressing in the local area at Corinth at that time? Why would he even bring this up? Paul possibly was warning God's people to not follow the same pattern of ancient Israel. Let's read it here. 1 Corinthians 10, and let's begin reading here in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Then I want to get to this verse, verse 5. "But with most of them, God was not well pleased." So there were some that apparently did please God, because he said here, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased." We know there was at least a few. "For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them." Do you think that lusting began to come into the group? Or maybe even some of this idolatry? That he mentions this, Paul mentions this to the people at Corinth. And then he says, "As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." So he went on to say, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell." Why did Paul say that to them? Was he beginning to see some of these traits coming into the group? Verse 9, "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents, nor murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come." And then he said this in verse 12. He said, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." A huge warning for them. A huge warning for us. Once we lift ourselves up, be ready for the fall. Here Paul uses the examples of the ancient Israelites to teach the Corinthians. Is it possible that Paul saw that they were following some of the same pattern of ancient Israelites? Some of those traits were beginning to come in? We are beginning to see a pattern that is in the Bible that we need to understand. You need to understand it, and I need to understand it. We're going to be talking about a pattern that is throughout the Bible. This pattern always begins when God gives his precious truth to someone. It always begins there. Then over time, deterioration of that precious truth begins to take place. we can see example after example after example. We can see this pattern with Lucifer at the very beginning. As God created him, he taught him his truth. He shared with him all these instructions. We don't know how long, how many years Lucifer lived properly. But at a point in time, deterioration took place. He began to question. He began to be confused, maybe, because he was lifting himself up. He began to turn away from God, and he ended up totally turning from God, deteriorating from a perfect state down to nothing. A part of God was a part of him. We can see the pattern with Adam and Eve. As God shared his precious truth with them, as he created them, he shared with them his truth, his instructions, his precious knowledge. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in that garden before deterioration started. We know Satan was there tempting and betraying them, deceiving them. But guess what? They began, for whatever reasons, and you can list them all, deterioration took place. The importance of God's precious truth deteriorated over time. We can clearly see this pattern of deterioration throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. If this pattern of deterioration occurred throughout the Bible, do you think the same pattern is occurring in our modern day as well? Today, I would like to focus our attention on this pattern that consistently occurs within the Bible, within the Old Testament, the New Testament, and I personally feel it continues to plague the Church of God today from this modern day. Focusing on this pattern will help us be on guard as Satan tries to lead us, to tempt us, to deceive us, to lead us astray so that we become deteriorated. From God's truth and instruction, deteriorate down to follow him. If you'd like a title for this sermon, it's simply this: where are we in this pattern of deterioration? Where are we in this pattern of deterioration? In order to see this pattern in the Bible, I would like to look at ancient Israel as our example in the Old Testament. I would like to look at the Church of God in that first era of God's church in the New Testament, described in the New Testament, as our example in the New Testament. I'd like to mention here, before we get going too far, that this information is not to point the finger at someone else. Because once we get down to the modern day, you know, it becomes real to us. And it'd be very easy to point fingers. But this information is not for the purpose of pointing fingers. This information is for the point for us to examine ourselves, to guard against deteriorating in your life. So why am I calling this a pattern of deterioration? The definition for deterioration is to become progressively worse over time. When something is deteriorating, it's progressively getting worse over time. If you buy a brand new car, over time it deteriorates. And its value and its quality, the way it looks, it deteriorates. So this is a pattern that starts out good and it progressively gets worse over time. In our case today, I want to specifically talk about this deterioration within God's realm, on what God's doing. The deterioration comes from the decision to reject God's truth and decide for ourselves to believe something different. Just as Satan did, or Lucifer at the time. Just as Adam and Eve did. just as ancient Israel did. This is how I would like to describe this pattern to begin with, in two steps. The first step is this pattern always begins when God gives his precious truth to others. God is always responsible for the first step, whether he calls us, whether he creates a being. He's the one who initiates and shares his truth, his way of life, his instruction, his commandments with those individuals. Then we see the second step of this pattern, where the people or the beings decide for themselves to go a different direction than what God taught them. Disobedience to God brings on this pattern of deterioration. Satan is always involved in this second step. He's always involved there, pushing us, tempting us. If he had his chance, just as he did with Job, he'd take us all right to the brink. He'd kill us all if God would allow. What is dangerous is this. Take note of this. What is dangerous in this pattern? All of these people and all of these beings thought that they were right in the decisions that they made. Extremely dangerous in this pattern is people were deceived and they thought they were right when they were leaving God. So let's take note of that. At times, God would provide his ministers or his prophets or his judges or his servants when the deterioration was taking place in order to warn the people or to help the people. In many cases, they ignored God's servants and decided to follow themselves away from God. At times, God would provide a servant in a manner that it would be like a restoring of the truth. It would be like a restoring of the truth at the beginning, and then, of course, over time, it would deteriorate once again. That's the pattern that we see over and over and over. So let's begin to look at the pattern of deterioration with the example of ancient Israelites. Let's go back to Judges. Judges chapter 2. As you already know, Moses was used by God to bring ancient Israel out of Egypt. He used Moses to teach his way in many ways. But God didn't allow Moses to cross into the promised land, but he had Joseph. Part of that first generation, Joseph led the people into the promised land. God shared his precious truth with them, and the Israelites agreed to obey. Let's go to Judges chapter 2 and begin to read here in verse 7. It says, "So the people served the Eternal all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua." This first generation was solid in God's truth. They were determined to keep God's truth, who had seen all the great works of the Eternal which he had done for Israel. Verse 8, "Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Eternal, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of the inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers," catch this, when that generation died, what happened? "Another generation arose after them who did not know the Eternal nor the work which he had done for Israel." Deterioration took place. "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Eternal God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed their gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them. And they provoked the Eternal to anger. They forsook the Eternal and served Baal and Asherah And the anger of the Eternal was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers, who despoiled them, and he sold them in the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Verse 15, whenever they went out, the hand of the Eternal was against them for calamity, as the Eternal had said, and as the Eternal had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Here we read a pattern of deterioration described. God gave them his truth, they agreed to obey, but over time, it began to deteriorate. They began to make decisions on their own, began to go a different direction. After Joshua's death, God began to use judges as his servants to the people. Let's continue reading here in verse 16. Then the Eternal raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Like a restoring of the truth, God would use his servant to come in there and try to help these people, God's people. Verse 17, yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Eternal. They did not do so. And when the Eternal raised up judges for them, the Eternal was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Eternal was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. The people still were wanting to reject God, not standing faithful. They lost their purpose. Looking at ancient Israel, it is evident that deterioration occurred. Israel's backsliding did not stop during the time of the judges. This pattern continued in the time period of the kings. It was in this time period when Israel deteriorated to the point where God separated Israel from Judah, and they both ended up in captivity. Let's go to 1 Chronicles to read about the kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Here we're going to see that David was a king that led Israel properly. He taught God's ways, God's instructions, God's way of life. So we can see here that God would use his servants to be brought in to try to restore this truth once again within his people, to try to help them so they can repent and live according to his way. David was an example of one of those, like a restoring of the truth in a sense, after they had been in such a mess. Let's go here to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. It says, then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in the time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Eternal your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Eternal. They anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Eternal by Samuel. So we see David coming involved, and let's go down to verse 9. It says, and David went on and became great, and the Eternal of hosts was with him. He taught God's ways. He was a man after God's own heart, we can read. Here God raised up David to help ancient Israel to come back toward his way of life. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. Here we will see that David's son, the next generation, would lead that next or that second generation. Let's see what he did. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. I'll get there in a minute. 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Then the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son. This word charged here means he commanded his son Solomon with what he was about to say. Verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. In other words, he was about to die. Be strong, Solomon, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the eternal your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. And it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Here David told Solomon, he led Solomon right all the way to the end of his life. This is what you need to do to lead God's people. Then down in verse 10. So David rested and he died, and he was rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Firmly established. Let's continue on. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm sure all of you know the story. But let's see the deterioration that took place within this next generation. 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. It says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonites, and the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Eternal had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And catch this last statement, and his wives turned away his heart. It started when he disobeyed the instruction from God. God's instruction was, don't go to these foreign cities for wives. We see that the Israelites deteriorated throughout Solomon's reign, and finally Israel and Judah was divided. This pattern occurred over and over. I'd like to read next from the account in Hosea, because he wrote about Israel to the north. He wrote right before Israel went into captivity. He described the deteriorated condition that Israel was in. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. That's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 4, and let's begin reading here in verse 1. This is the condition, after many years, this is the condition of Israel. Hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel. These words are coming from God, and Hosea was delivering them. Hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel. For the Eternal brings a charge. He brings a complaint. is what charge means. He brings a complaint against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Wow, that's deterioration. When there's none. No knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed after bloodshed. Going down to verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And that's the lack of God's knowledge here. My people are destroyed for the lack of God's knowledge. Because you have rejected God's knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like a people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase. They won't be blessed. Because they have ceased obeying the Eternal. So Israel went into captivity. We see here that God's people can pervert their own ways by their choices, by the direction of leaving the instruction, what God has established, a way of life for us to live, and begin to even worship in phony manners. The pattern of deterioration is being described here. I now would like to read from the example in Ezekiel, who was sent to the people in Judah. God gave him this information to deliver to Israel, but Judah went into captivity approximately 135 years later after Israel. Ezekiel began writing right after Judah entered captivity. Let's read about Judah's condition. We read about Israel, the Israelites. Let's go to Judah, which is in Ezekiel chapter 2. We can just see the aftermath of all these years that's occurred within the people of God. Even though they did not have God's Spirit, we see the example. And this was the examples that Paul was using that we read earlier. Ezekiel 2, and let's begin actually in the last half of the verse before in chapter 1, in verse 28. At the very end it says, so when I saw it, when Ezekiel saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, he was talking to Ezekiel, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent, or in other words, they're stiff-faced and they're hard-hearted, and they're stubborn children. I am sending you to them. Here, once again, God sending one of his servants to them, in this case, Ezekiel, to try to help them. And you shall say to them, thus says the Eternal God. So this was the words that Ezekiel was to deliver to God's people from God. Verse 5, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. So God has instructed Ezekiel, you go and deliver these words. It's going to be up to them whether they choose to obey or not. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 6. We begin to see the descriptions of the tribe of Judah after the deterioration. Ezekiel 6, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy.